tech now. Fevzi Turkalp joins us, editor of GadgetDetective.com, to talk about the proliferation of fake ads, especially ones selling air conditioners. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning. Yes, we're seeing, as the hot weather progresses, we're seeing more and more of these scam adverts appearing on social media platforms, and some of these are terrible. So they are running adverts for what appear to be portable air conditioning units, often designed, in quotes, by former NASA engineers, able to cool rooms in 90 seconds, which is remarkable considering even an air conditioning unit can't do that. And then people buy them, and they're getting often things that are not much more than desk fans.
I've seen some of these adverts, and I've seen an awful lot of these sort of scammy fake adverts, and they're sort of convincing, and they are getting better, but mostly I don't think I would fall for them because they're still sort of a little bit rough around the edges.
They are. And the worry is, of course, that some people are clearly falling for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't spend the money on the ads. It's to, you know, it's to do with the volume of people who see these. So even if 0.1%, 1 in 1,000 fall for it, that's still many thousands of people. And people are spending, you know, £70 to £100, sometimes more, because they've seen an advert on Meta or YouTube. And, you know, Meta and YouTube are meant to be, you know, and are respectable. And they have many respectable, truthful advertisers on there. But interleaved amongst those appears to be things that say this invention cooled down a 37 square meter room to 17 degrees in minutes. And just, you know, and it's not, this is not the first time we've seen this. There's also, do you know those ones for torches where you've got a torch that's about the size of my thumb, and then they have this AI video of it lighting up a whole field?
Like a spotlight. Yeah,
just amazing, you know, amounts of light, which would, it would have to be nuclear powered to do anything like that. And people, some people do fall for it because, you know, it's they are somewhat convincing. The AI demos of them are becoming slicker and harder to spot. I mean, at the moment, I would argue that they're still quite obvious, but mostly obvious because of the outrageous claims that they're depicting. But, of course, if you don't know that that claim is outrageous, then the AI video of it looks quite good. You also get it with cleaning products where they put, you know, a couple of drops of this magic liquid on something and suddenly it's glistening.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, quite bizarre.
There's an awful lot of financial ones, and poor old Martin Lewis. Yes. I've seen one where I know he gets used in scam adverts all the time, and he's very cross about it. I've seen one where he appears to be talking in a TV studio and saying, "I'm recommending this. This is a great investment." And there's a little BBC logo and all of this stuff, which is totally fake. So my beef with this, and tell me whether we can put this right or not, is that, as you rightly say, a lot of the companies who are earning money from these adverts are proper, legitimate companies. And my argument would be, well, if you're taking the money, then you're responsible for that. You're not just a platform. You should be responsible. You know, any advert that goes out on LBC, for example, it's regulated. You can't just put out any old rubbish. And why can't theirs be regulated as well?
So the ASA has a role in this. The Advertising Standards Authority has a role, but it does not have the ability to render fines. So, effectively, it's a toothless regulator. There are some proposals undergoing consultation at the moment. I think consultation ends in October of this year, that if they pass in their current form, would give Ofcom the power to fine companies up to 10% of their turnover. And when I say companies, I mean the platforms, as you've suggested. The problem with some of the companies themselves, you know, and the reason, one of the reasons why the ASA can't really get anywhere with this, is that they're quite nebulous entities, right? Often not based in the UK. So jurisdiction is a problem, but also they just seem to, some of these companies just seem to shift and shimmer. You know, and very, very hard to get.
But it's just morally wrong, though, isn't it? They should have a responsibility. We shouldn't even have to police it. They should automatically be making sure that they're not putting out adverts that are complete lies.
Well, do you remember some months ago? And I'll be careful how I say that. But we covered a claim that a certain social media platform actually had a higher advertising tariff for adverts that it thought were higher risk. And obviously the problem with that is if you think they're higher risk, you shouldn't be running it.
You shouldn't be running them at all.
Not that you run it, but you're going to charge them more. It felt like, you know, taking a cut of ill-gotten gains. You know, it's just not really right.
I agree. And I think I can accept the argument that they're a platform for the public just posting things. I know it would be virtually impossible to police every tweet and every post because there are billions of them. And, you know, you can do your best, but you can't check everything. But I would have thought with ads, you should be checking.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I agree with you that they have a... They have a, you know, an obligation to do more than is apparently being done. And the other thing is that often these ads are appearing in quite legitimate, you know, videos. You know, they're an ad break. It's bad that, you know, they just jump into a commercial break and there's no warning that you've gone from, you know, the editorial content to advertising. But it's just that legitimate brands, I mean, if I was a content creator on one of these platforms, I'd be quite upset because it undermines the legitimacy of my own brand, or it would do, to have one of these adverts appearing right in the middle of what I'm trying to convey. Just a few tips, if I may.
Yes.
The old adage, if the promises sound too good to be true, like claims that a small device can chill a large room in seconds, it probably is, you know. Also look for dramatic backstories about secret inventions and industry breakthroughs and how the industry is trying to shut them down. And, you know, it's actually a bit like the far-right narrative that, you know, they're outsiders and grab it whilst you can because the state is going to come for this and it won't be available much longer. Things like poor grammar, spelling mistakes where text appears on the screen, inconsistent branding, and also customer reviews that describe dramatic results, reading as if they're just too perfect. Is it, you know, like when you look online and you see just a whole swathe of 5-star reviews and nothing else, that's often suspicious. So you can look for those things, but the main thing is, you know, and I know it's tempting because if you're sitting there literally sweating and you can't afford thousands of pounds for a proper legitimate air conditioner, then something like this, you might say, well, it's worth a go. You know, you might have a vulnerable relative and you're just desperate and you want to try something. So you're tempted, even if there's a part of you that's niggling and saying that can't be right. You know, you're going to give it a go. It comes out of desperation.
There are also people who are used to having adverts that are reliable and checked, maybe don't realise that stuff can pop up and it's not true.
Yeah, in the UK, I think that's particularly true. You know, we have quite tight regulation in this country, more than a lot of other Western countries. And, you know, so we're kind of patsies in that sense, aren't we? Because we tend to think that advertising is reasonably honest.
Yes. Now, we've got a couple of minutes. Let's have a mention of a gadget, if you've got one that you've selected.
Yeah, I love this. I love this one. I don't want to send this one back. It's from a company called FIO, F-I-I-O, and it's called the Snow Sky, or one word, Disc, D-I-S-C. And it's a portable, what we in the past we would have called an MP3 player, right? But it can play MP3s, but the point of this device is not just that it can play MP3s, but it plays very high resolution music files. It's about the screen is a circular screen, 1.8 inch screen. The device itself is about 2.7 inches square and about half an inch thick. So it's really quite tiny, but it's got this 1.8 inch circular screen, which is a touch screen. So you can, you know, it does have some physical buttons, but you can control a lot of the things on there. And because it's a circular high res screen, you can do things like screen savers and lock screens, but you can also do things like album covers, lyrics, and you can even have like a graphic of a CD or a record spinning, albeit slowly. So it's a very nice little user interface.
Right, so you store your music on it and you can walk around and you don't have to have an internet connection.
You don't have to, but it's good if you do, because there's other things. But yes, you store your music on it. It has a micro SD card slot, which are those memory cards that are about the size of the fingernail on my little finger. And the really interesting thing about that is you can it will accept up to a 2 terabyte card, which is huge.
And can I just ask, though, where do people these days get their music files from? I mean, I used to have to pay 99p for an iTunes file, and God knows where they are now. Or I would maybe download my own CD and get. So are there still people with thousands and thousands of their own recordings?
Yeah, so there are, and there's still people with, you know, huge CD collections that are gathering dust. And, you know, one goes through a process of ripping these at full quality. So you can store them as what are called FLAC files. So these are compressed files, so they're smaller than the amount of data required on a CD, but they're lossless. So there's no loss of quality. They just found a way to squeeze them down in size without losing any quality. Whereas an MP3 file, which this will also play, does lose quality. But what I wanted to just give you an idea of is this device, which is, you know, as I say, 2.7 inches square and half an inch thick, can store with the appropriate card. So if you put a 2 terabyte card in there, as MP3s, that's the equivalent of about 15,000 albums. If you stored them as lossless FLAC files, that's still about 4,000 albums. So what does that tell us? Almost nobody needs a 2 terabyte card, unless, of course, they get really cheap in the future. I mean, that process of the cards getting cheaper has stalled somewhat at the moment. But even if you've got, let's say, 128 gigabyte SD, which would cost you about £20, right, for the card, then you're still talking about 1,000 MP3 albums or 250 lossless. Most people probably don't have 250 albums. Some people will, but, you know, what it's saying is that you can just put your whole music collection and then some on this tiny little device and then play them back in full quality. And then the ways you can play them back is interesting. So you've got two types of headphone socket. You've got a standard 3.5 millimeter socket, plus you've got a 4.5 millimeter socket, which is a higher quality sort of audio file standard. You can transmit as a Bluetooth output. So it's got Bluetooth output, but with something called LDAC, so very high quality Bluetooth audio. So you can, if you're using it with headphones, which would be the most typical use, you can do it with Bluetooth headphones or preferably wired headphones for the best quality. It can also accept Apple AirPlay as well. So it's got Wi-Fi. Apple AirPlay uses Wi-Fi. And so you can accept say something streamed from your phone to this would work quite well. And it acts as a sound card for your computer. So let's say you've got a laptop, be it a Mac or a Windows PC. You know, even with an expensive laptop, the bit that converts the digital to analog in it and then it comes out of the speakers is really poor. It often costs about, you know, $1 or less for that circuit. So this thing can plug into a USB socket, and then it does the digital to analog conversion, so you get much higher quality. And then you can either plug in headphones and listen that way, or take a cable and plug it into an auxiliary input on a amplifier.
Right.
So it's really quite flexible. It costs £86. That doesn't include the memory card. Weighs about 77 grams. And as I say, it's teeny tiny. It'll give you about 12 hours battery life per charge.
And what's it called again?
It's called the FIO. The brand is unusual. It's FIIO. And it's the Snow Sky, or one word, Disc, D-I-S-C. They're quite widely sold, you know, all the normal retailers, plus a lot of the hi-fi retailers sell this as well. I think it's a really nice machine. I mean, it's very stylish. I mean, it's the sort of thing that feels good and looks good. When just holding it, you feel good about it. But I think for £86, let's call it 100 by the time you've added in a modest micro SD card, I think that's really good value, because it has the ability to essentially upgrade your other devices like computers to give them better sound output as well.
Fevzi, thank you. Fevzi Turkel there, editor of GadgetDetective.com.